First, before I begin, as an act of mercy, asked of us by God, as in the Quran, as much as He asked us to defend ourselves against transgressors, not to fight them, as clearly illustrated by there is no compulsion in faith, but tolerance and forgiveness if your nature can do it. I forgive you, my brother. God is the only one that really forgives, but I ask God to forgive simply because He asks us. Give them excuse, those who do not know any better. I believe that answers your first contradiction that you quote from the Quran, saying it contradicts itself. Of course, the Quran, there are contradictions in the Quran between it and many verses in the New and Old Testament. My brother feels that by recognizing that neither the Old Testament or the New Testament is historically original in terms of authenticity, he can claim the same for the Quran. I honestly thought that he had time to read the many very scholarly works that are in existence from the time of Muhammad till now. If not, I have made a list for those who wish to know. Most of you know Professor Gibb at Harvard University. He wrote many books about Islam. Goes in detail and in documentation. If you do not, there is a gentleman by the name of Mauro Berger who wrote about the Arab world and the Islamic history. If you do not, there is a fellow by the name of Zwemer. I have never read his book, but I have referred to some of his writings. Mind you, many of these are not friends of Islam, but they are honest, scientific historians. Another is a gentleman by the name of J.M. Rodwell, the Quran. He wrote something, the Quran. Another, Sheikh, the Islamic background. Another, Wad, free will and predisposition, predestination Islam. Another, Munajjid. Another, T.W. Arnold. Another, Zwemer. Another, Zwemer. Van Krombuan. Wensi. I could go on and on and on. All of you know Professor Arnold Toynbee, a very famous historian, he's still living. You may find some of his copies right here in the Birmingham Library. But the most fascinating thing is that the historical evidence as it is in our hands, written by whom? Brother Hato says that the Prophet did not command revelations as they are coming to him to be written down. Let me give you the history, because the original Mus'haf means compilation of the papers on which the writings, the original writings as dictated by the Prophet are kept. It is in existence and it is in Mecca. He doesn't know the name of the gentleman. Let me give you the name. His name is Zayd ibn Thabit. You can read a lot about these people that I'm going to tell you about. The memoirs of Ibn Khaldun, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. I'm talking about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, is a companion of the Prophet. And his writings are available to us. Some people reproduce them today that we have Xerox machines and photography and what have you. I thought you honestly had some access to some of these documents. But let me tell you why the Quran is authentic as dictated by the Prophet Muhammad, as revealed to him by God. It took 23 years for the complete revelation of the Quran. 2 years before the Prophet Muhammad died, the angel Gabriel, who was the medium, as he was before him to all other prophets, told him that now the full revelation of God that contains all that is previous before for all mankind has been completed, and as I quoted in the previous time, and God promised that He will keep it intact without a single word changed forever for mankind. This is what I'm referring to as authenticity. How was it done? 2 years, when this happened to the Prophet Muhammad, he called his scribe in the presence of his companions, the first followers, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Ali, and Uthman and Ali. Uthman comes before Ali, excuse me. And the Prophet used in these 2 years before he died, now the Quran is complete, to sit down and order the dictation to Ziyad ibn Thabit in his presence and the presence of other companions. And as he records, he is giving him exact instructions and supervising this. Upon the completion of all of this, it was kept. And we have it till today, my friends. But look at what happened. When the Prophet died, Abu Bakr, the first Khalif, and here is where we put in, as we have heard before from my brother Hato, some true historical facts besides untrue happenings, because not intentional. I do not think for a moment that my brother Hato really will intend to tell anything except out of not knowing. And this is really excusable, but it's correct. Abu Bakr, the first Khalif, immediately upon the death of Muhammad, he called Zayd ibn Thabit and asked him to put together these leaflets that had the full text of the Quran so he can have the text in his custody. And he did. From there on, every single copy that is to be called authenticated must be an exact identical copy to that which is in existence today. Not yesterday, no, today. From the beginning of the time the Prophet has dictated it until its completion, and intentionally in the last 2 years sitting down making sure, as God's revelation and promise to keep it for man and for all mankind intact, unchanged, is a true fact. Later on, as the Islamic empire was expanding, Umar ibn al-Khattab was the second Khalif. He was busy responding to the call of those who have been oppressed by the Roman rulers in what, as you know, Palestine. So when he went there, he was received in a very gracious manner by the then existing Christian patriarch, bishop, whatever the title would be, I'm not sure what was the title of the time. And he had in mind that it's better to start making copies identical to this as soon as he returns from these expeditions that necessitated his presence. But he didn't live long and died. Then came the next Khalif, Uthman. What did Uthman do? He immediately called upon, of course, the Mus'haf now, the original, written in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad by his dictation and in the presence of his companions, passed from the hands of Ziyad Ibn Thabit to the hands of Abu Bakr Thabit Khalif, to the hands of Umar the second Khalif, to the hands of Uthman the third Khalif. He called Zayd ibn Thabit and asked him to sit down after he brings in. Remember when I told you that the Prophet, whenever he used to say a verse, immediately upon its revelation, people used to write it on pieces of leather, pieces of pottery, cloths, what have you, depending on what you can afford at the time. He ordered Zayd ibn Thabit to bring in at least for each verse in the Quran, at least two original documents heard directly by their writers to him, then we want to check it with that original that was dictated by the Prophet. When this was done, lo and behold, every single verse in the Quran except two had more than two originals that came. Some had many. Two of the verses each had only one additional document that was heard by people that were located. There was fighting, a lot of them got killed. Identical to what was dictated by the Prophet to Zayd ibn Thabit before he died. Therefore the authenticity is established beyond doubt. I hope this, together with so many of the writings that goes in detail of these studies. When I went to Cairo to visit my family, I was blessed to have seen some of these original pieces of parchment in the Cairo Islamic Museum. They are today. I shall invite you, Brother Hayam, make a charter flight, and you shall see some of that evidence that I have seen too. I'll be glad to have you all as my family's guests, and I do have many families there. We are really there, a lot of brothers and sisters, and we do welcome you, because you are people of the book. That means you attempted to know God's truth through His revelations, but your access to the whole truth has not been made feasible for you. And this is why our attempt to get together in these discussions is aimed at that. Now I choose to, before I get back to the subject of the prophecies, I am forced to have to answer some of these. Yes, the Muslims used to face Jerusalem before they were instructed by revelation to face Kaaba. You know why? At the time people started worshipping idols, and the place where they said idols came from. So to relinquish that once and for all, God instructed them to face the first house of God. Muslims regard the first house of God is that built by Abraham and his son. That is in Mecca, the Kaaba. The second house of God is in Jerusalem. So, because this is the final revelation, continuing the unity of the message from the time it was revealed, He commanded those who believe to face the original house of God, not because they are worshipping the place, but to understand the symbol of unity when they are praying to the one God. The oneness of God here and the unity of faith is always stressed. This is the significance, not as my brother has tried to explain to my friend. The Quran says Christ did not die. We all know. The Quran says he was not crucified and he was not killed, but God saved him. I know in the Bible there is a whole story about his crucifixion and death and resurrection. So there are contradictions. But the fact remains that because of the unauthenticity of the records upon which we can depend on the story of death, crucifixion and resurrection, we are in doubt. And the other fact To supplement the lack of originality and authenticity, we had to resort to doctrines, the development of doctrines and meanings and sacrifice and shedding of blood to save mankind, as if God is bloodthirsty. He needs pure blood to be shed. That is the lesson we take. When God says He forgives, we're going to tell God, don't forgive this sin or that sin. He wouldn't be merciful if He didn't. And it is His domain to do as He pleases. If a man repents and truly gets to the righteous path, we're going to tell God, oh no, he sinned in the past. Give it to him first. What a characteristic, inconsistent with a true just God, if we ask that of Him. Therefore, God is not capricious. My brother was referring to the fact that the worst calamity is to associate anyone besides God in worship. How very consistent, how very true. When we look at this teaching in the Quran, right from the very beginning, the very first instruction given to Adam, worship none other than me and obey my commands. God kicked Adam out of paradise just simply for disobeying a very small item, a very small sin. We're going to ask of that God, whose only two commands, worship none other than me and obey my commands. If we break, remember the first one, none other than me. It's very simple to pray to our Lord. Very simple. And this is one way of purifying ourselves. But the commands are many. It's a way of life. That is why in the Quran there is a detailed description as to how to live, how to perform, who to marry. And I challenge my brother Hato to come up with the verse from the Quran where he said, as if it's an allowed thing and you can do as you please. لَكُمْ مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً, which means you are allowed to marry up to four. But, and this is very important in the lesson to be derived from this Quranic verse, because we must read what follows. It's very important. But, if you know that you cannot be equally fair to both, then one should be. Then he says, there is the judgment of God. And you will not be able to be just, equally just to them. Without mentioning the second part that qualifies what this, in other words, God knows our inequities and our weaknesses. And in a society of pagan people, or in an advanced society who doesn't like this, who does not allow polygamy, yet, how often do we read in the newspapers people having mistresses on the side, just because they do it behind closed doors and in second rented apartments, does not mean that it's permissible. I have one wife and a few on the sideline. God's justice is concomitant with human nature when He created that man. Shall I revert back to the subject of our discussion tonight, or should I wait until the next period? Because now is the time. How much time do I have left, please? I relinquish that to Brother Hart. We do have an intermission now, don't we?
Right. Dr. Elder Rear, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be back in this